Now I know why Ole Miss is so ornery all the damn time. It's because they're broke. You and I both know, at least maybe if you come from the same situation that maybe that I came from, and I love my mom, I love my dad. They did everything humanly possible underneath the sun to give me every single little thing that they could off of their backs, give it to me, had a great childhood, not saying I didn't, but I didn't grow up with money, okay? Didn't grow up with all kinds of money. We weren't out there with Rolls Royces. We weren't out there with Range Rovers. My daddy didn't work at Goldman Sachs. Head ass. No. We grew up as a middle, lower tier family. Middle class family. If you need money and you're stressed, just ask, big dog. But yet you want to go out there and sue Princewell Umamyelen for a contract in a season that he hasn't even played yet. For you, you want to sue Devin Harper of a breach of contract for a contract for a season that you hadn't played yet because you think that, well, we can't use that money with the house settlement case. Yeah, you can. It's literally in the subsection that if a breach of contract happens and a player gets in the portal and has a contract, the contract's voided. But I'm sure that you're going to win because you sued in a Mississippi court system to go and get roughly nearly $1 million from Princewell Umamyelen and Devin Harper. Blake, what in the holy hell are you talking about? Well, in case you missed it, I'm glad that you asked. Ole Miss is suing two former players who left Ole Miss that is going to LSU or went to LSU, currently enrolled and at LSU. They are suing for a breach of contract because they are saying that Harper and Umamyelen had a two-year contract on TV rev share and that they can't use nearly that $1 million worth of money and they want it recouped. It's not true. They're going to win regardless if it's true or not. Guys, the likelihood of them suing in a Mississippi court, which is exactly what they've done, they're probably going to win. They're going to do the same exact thing that happened with Trinidad Chambliss. You're going to sue in a Mississippi court. I'm assuming that that judge is going to be and have some ties to Ole Miss, and they're going to win the suit. They're going to win it. Because why would they sue not having a full deck of cards ready to go to be able to win? They already showed you that they will do it in the Trinidad Chambliss case. Meanwhile, that judge, who's old as hell and an Ole Miss alum, gets Trinidad to sign stuff for him after ruling in his favor in a courtroom. It was live on TV for everybody to see it. There are two parts of this. They are going to fight and say, well, we can't use that money that we had promised to them because of the house settlement case, blah, blah, blah. They can. And they're going to try to retrieve nearly $1 million, which I'm sure if it came down, push came to shove, LSU is going to give them $1 million. But, you know, the thing for me and everybody, and I saw multiple people in Baton Rouge who cover LSU saying, well, I might be in the minority on this here in Baton Rouge, but if you signed a contract, my brother, they didn't get paid for anything that happened in 2026. The year hasn't even happened yet. So let's talk about the reality of the situation. I can read the house settlement case just like everybody else. What they are claiming is that the promise that they allotted, meaning Ole Miss, the money that they promised and allotted in a contract to Princewell and to Devin Harper, they can't use for other players. That's simply not true. You know how I know and everybody can know? You can easily go over to google.com and you can type in, is a contract in TV revenue breached and voided? Keyword there being voided. And is that money able to be used for other players if a contract of a player is voided if they go in the transfer portal? Do you want to know what Grock will tell you? Grock will tell you yes. Do you want to know what Claude would tell you? Claude would tell you yes. Do you know what Gemini would tell you? All of these AI models, you don't even have to do the work. It's going to tell you yes. So why are you doing it? Why are you doing it before the season? Why are you doing it before the season? You're running out of money? You know, there's been whispers out there that maybe there haven't been a lot of people donating the way that they've been donating in the past. Are those rumors true? Because all the Ole Miss media will come out and say, no, that's not true. It's stronger than ever. I'm sure it is. And yet you're suing for $1 million. LSU gave you buyout monies for all of their coaches. They gave you buyout money for Kiffin. You're just showing that you're weak and that you're soft. You know, during this whole process, let's lay out everything, okay? Let's lay out the entire situation that happened. In November of last year, LSU fired Brian Kelly. And it was very quickly known, very quickly, that LSU was going after Lane Kiffin. Brian Kelly was fired on the Sunday. I remember we did a show that Sunday. We came back that Monday and said, yeah, so I'm pretty confident that LSU is going to go for broke for Lane Kiffin. And so as November ended and December started, every single day, every single night, every single week, all of the things that kept happening, every sign kept pointing to LSU going to Lane Kiffin. There were multiple reports, not only by myself, but from other national media members that were out there saying, yeah, LSU doesn't really have a plan B. They really don't. They maybe have talked to some other guys and got interest, maybe. Yet their full focus is on one dude, that's Lane Kiffin. And yet during the entire month of December, Keith Carter, the athletic director of Ole Miss, kept asking, Lane, are you going to stay? Lane, please stay. You've built something so great here. Will you please stay at the University of Mississippi? When Lane beat Florida and the entire stadium, we want Lane. Ah, we want Lane. Ah. Now they hate him. You put your arm around Kiffin and begged him to stay. You know, there's something that's not relatively known out there in these people's streets. It's not relatively known that when you went through the month of December and November, or it was October, it wasn't November when Brian Kelly got fired. Thank you, Brandon. Brian Kelly got fired in the month of October. So when you went through the whole month of November, thank you, Brandon. Did I say November, December? Thank you. When you went through the whole month of November and everything kept playing out the way that it did, everybody knew that Lane was going to LSU. I knew it, and you knew it. Guys, Keith Carter, late in November, sent planes to go talk to John Summerall. Pete Golding was not his first choice. They are showing you every single step of the way. Over the last 2 months, they have shown you every single step of the way that they are constantly butthurt by this over and over and over again. Of course, they should be, right? Their coach left for a rival. Their coach left for a better situation with a better institution, with better money, better history, better winning, for a chance to ultimately win a national title. He could have done it at Ole Miss. No, he couldn't have. He brought you to the brink of all of the success that you could have, and you know that. Here's my thing. You knew all that and kept mismanaging the situation over and over and over again. Virg Allsbury pushed Keith Carter into a locker. Their chancellor at the University of Mississippi got pushed in a locker by Scott Ballard. If you think that the governor and the boosters of Ole Miss didn't get involved to keep Lane Kiffin the same way that LSU's did, then you're stupid and naive. Because LSU put their best foot forward, and it was too attractive of a job not to take it. So here's my thing. People are going to go out there and say, well, Blake, it was a breach of contract. They said that they would sign for $1 million. Did you do the same thing for Caden Lee? Did you do the same thing for Caden Lee that went to Missouri or to Austin Simmons? What were their contracts like? Now, let me tell you what's going to happen. They're going to say, oh, they signed one-year deals. Are you sure? Do you have that validated? I have sources. Well, your sources also told you that LSU was not going to get a running back in the state of Louisiana, that Frank Wilson was going to get him, and it didn't happen. because LSU is LSU. So every time sources have come out of Ole Miss saying Lane is going to stay, Lane is going to Florida, Trey Martin is going to commit to Ole Miss, Trey Martin is going to be here, Frank pushed Kevin into a locker. No, none of those things kept happening. You are butthurt. They're going to come out and say, well, you signed a contract. And I agree. There is, to some extent, you did sign a contract. Here's my thing. You're not an employee. You didn't play the 2026 season. The money that you can use for TV rev share can still be used in a voided contract. That's not debatable. Anybody that wants to come out there and debate that, it's literally right there in front of your face if you want to go look for it for yourself. Keith Carter, either number one, has no clue what he's doing, which, by the way, continues to validate to me every single move that he does. I don't think he has any idea what he's doing. I think he has no clue of really what he's doing. Go type it in. You can type it into Google right now. If a player gets into the transfer portal, is a TV revenue contract voided when they do that for a TV rev share? It's going to tell you yes. Then ask it, can you use that money for other NIL or TV rev opportunities for other players? It's going to tell you yes, because that is the house settlement case. Ask Luke Ferrelli. They keep giving LSU massive ammunition. You know, the last time that you and I talked about this, I said, you know what? Unless a court ordered me to do it, unless a court ordered me to give them $1 million on a specific date, on September 19th, that's less than 50 days away or 50-something days away, after LSU waxes that candy ass, I go give them the check. Until then, I'm not doing anything unless a court mandates that I do it. I'm not giving them nothing. I wouldn't do it. And then if we beat them, then I'd be like, here you go, little brother. Here you go. There's your check. Or I give it to Prince Will, or I give it to Devin Harper. I'd say, here's your check. This is a joke. They're going after players because they keep trying to antagonize the situation. You're petty. You're always going to be petty. You have no idea. Ole Miss has no idea in football what it's like in the 21st century to be on the mountaintop. You never will. So you can continue to give LSU ammunition. You can continue to be petty. Lane hasn't said a damn word. He hasn't done a damn thing. But you keep going. And every time Lane opens his mouth, you're like, oh, see, there he goes again. You're the one that keeps doing everything. What if I told you that I signed you right now to a $200,000 deal? You worked through year one, and you didn't work through year two. You left, and the contract was voided. And then I came after you for that $100,000, which you never worked for. Oh, but the TV rev share, we can't utilize it. Yeah, you can. I'm not paying it to you. I'm not paying it to you. I did not think. Here's the one thing I'll give. I didn't think they had the balls. I really didn't. But I still don't think that they do. Because if you believe that Ole Miss is not ready and has a court system stacked to be in their favor, to rule in their favor, then I don't know what to tell you. They already showed you all of this in the Trinidad Chambliss case. They already showed you that they will have favorable judges in their back pocket, which, by the way, I would love to know if the Department of Justice would look into situations like this for eligibility. Like, are you doing some backhanded deals behind the scenes and the Department of Justice needs to look into it? Because if you already have a favorable judge and you already have talked to that judge, sounds like something's a little bit fishy to me. But that's probably what they did. you and I both know that Ole Miss did not pull the trigger on suing Princewell Umamyelen and Devin Harper if they did not have a stacked court. 6 months ago, they showed you that they already did. I keep telling you this, and people think it's hyperbole when I say it. I don't know if there's been another game the last 5 years that this LSU fan base has wanted more than this one. I don't think that there has been one. Maybe you could say Alabama, maybe Clemson last year, but there has not been a game, maybe in my lifetime, that has been this toxic. And you can say, well, Blake, this is what happens when you bring over Lane Kiffin. What has Lane done the last 2 months? He hadn't been on social media. He hadn't talked. They asked him about the Vanity Fair. Okay, yeah, maybe not the right timing. But yet it's Ole Miss that keeps pounding that dead horse. They keep coming out day in and day out. I see their media corps day in and day out, Lane this, Lane that. The whole SEC media week, Lane this, Lane that. Pete Golding won the show. Brother, he started taking personal shots, and I know that all of you know that he did. And you better be sure that there's not skeletons in your own closet before you take personal shots. Hey, Golding, Lane hasn't been on social media. Sounds good to me. Thank God. Well, the last time that he didn't go on social media, y'all beat Georgia, and it had nothing to do with you. The things that this fan base and this media corps will spin in the favor of Ole Miss is absolutely ridiculous. Like the Trinidad Chambliss case. How can you not see that that's a favorable judge? How can you not see it? I mean, you can be an Ole Miss homer. How can you not see that that's a stacked situation and people came out blaming the NCAA? How in the good wide world did you think that they were going to win? Please tell me. Please tell me. I don't think that I have wanted a game more as a fan. I don't think there's been a game that you've wanted more. Now, maybe I'm naive. Maybe I'm just living in the moment. Maybe I'm a prisoner of the moment. There's no amount. Let me tell you this, too. If Princewell Umamyelen does exactly what he does that he did this year that he did last year, the $1 million you got to pay to these Rudy Poos is nothing. If Princewell Umamyelen this season goes out there and has 8.5, 9 sacks, it's worth every single penny that you give him. Every single penny. It's worth every single penny because if he does that again, what do you think is going to happen? What do you think that? How do you think that that promotes LSU defensively? LSU didn't have a player that had 5.5 sacks, much less 8 sacks, a season ago. They didn't have a pass rush. This dude does that again, I'd spend any amount of money to make sure because that's going to help benefit us to go to the playoffs. Oh, by the way, we got playoff money. Guys, here's the truth. I think that you and I, when we come in here, we don't spare anything. Even though my daddy works for Goldman Sachs, my daddy will sue you. Yeah, you will. Do you know how soft you look? You look soft. Guys, they're probably going to win this case. They have a stacked situation. So whether or not facts are on your side, like you can look at the house settlement case and say that facts are on your side and that avoided contract allows them to do what needs to be done. Like you can have all the facts. It ain't going to matter. It will not matter. The reason it will not matter is because look at what they've done. Keep giving ammunition. But I promise you this, as the old saying goes, a dish served cold is the best dish, Revenge is a dish best served cold. Let's have at it. The only other thing I'd say here, what do you want to say? That it's weak, that it's petty, that Keith Carter is a horrible AD? He is a horrible AD. He's been a horrible AD. He will continue to be a horrible AD. He doesn't know what he's doing. I would love to know who really pressured him to doing this, because I don't believe for one second, one iota, that Keith Carter did this on his own. I would assume that boosters and chancellors were begging for this. He didn't do this on his own. He doesn't do these things on his own. My daddy will sue you. My daddy will sue you. They haven't even played for a game for you this season. What money do you want? Keith Carter in the Clarion Ledger. I see Ole Miss fans in here, like this little guy, Johnny. Keith Carter ran out in the Clarion Ledger saying, we can't use the house settlement case. We can't use that money for TV revenue. Yes, you can. Y'all just don't know what you're talking about because you don't even know how to read. It's not my fault he can't read. It's not my fault you're illiterate. Go look it up yourself. They're probably going to win it. And it will be interesting as LSU at the current moment does not have a comment. And I would assume as camp starts that Lane will be asked about it. And it's going to be really interesting to see how he answers it. Just keep that same energy when you're getting your teeth kicked in. Nevertheless, we're live. Everyone do us a favor by hitting the like and share. If you're on YouTube, do us a favor. Take that link. Go to all those Facebook groups. We greatly appreciate it. Wherever you listen to podcasts, rate, review, and subscribe. Speaking of YouTube, hit that subscribe button down below. We do greatly appreciate it. Hit that notification bell as well. Wherever you listen to podcasts, rate, review, and subscribe. We do greatly appreciate it. I do see that we have super chats that are flying in here. I will get to a couple of them before we do get rolling. Boogie with a $5 super chat says, Ole Piss fans trying to flame you on X because of the lawsuits LMAO truly runs. I don't care what they do. I don't care what they do. Flame me for what? They ain't flaming me. You know what? Here's what I'm going to say. See you September 19th. Stand by. Stand by. Let's talk on September 19th. Then we'll have a conversation. Frank Castle with a $10 super chat says, a friend texted me a link to a report on Ole Miss lawsuit. I laughed for a good minute and texted him back, quote, I don't know what LSU will do this season, but I know LSU isn't losing this game. I agree. He also says, it's cute. We're in Ole Miss's heads like Charles Xavier, X-Men. They are desperately in need of any win to soothe the fragility of their shattered egos. I agree. I mean, like, why else would you do it? And I don't think Keith Carter is behind this on his own. He's not smart enough to do that. Alex Sports Talk with a $5 super chat has been watching since 2021, watching from Corpus Christi, Texas, but I'm a Louisiana girl representing the state outside of the state. Yes, where is everybody watching from tonight? 225-985-504-337-318. Or as Alex Sports Talk, are you outside the state representing the state? Where are you watching from? Let us know in the chat. MD with a $5 super chat on YouTube says, I'd have that lawsuit printed and posted on every player's locker. I'd frame it and put it on walkout post also all year, hashtag championship. I don't know if they would do that or I'd do that. I wouldn't want to like rub pause. I wouldn't want to, you know, rub Prince Will or Devin Harper the wrong way. But here would be my thing. You know, if I'm an LSU player going into this season, I would ask you one simple question. You've seen your head coach, your new head coach, get completely attacked by everybody in Kingdom Come for him making the move from Ole Miss to LSU. They have attacked him in every single angle, every single day, every single facet. All of SEC Media Days should have been the LSU SEC Media Days because it's all they talked about. How are you going to react to a guy that majority of you came here to play for who your coach is constantly getting attacked? How are you going to respond to that? How do you look yourself in the mirror during the offseason, during camp, and say, you know what, man, this is bigger than me now? And then even if you don't care, and I'm not saying they don't, even if you don't care for Lane or the coaching staff or whatever, there is something to being a part of a team. You can, me and people on the team can talk trash to one another. Hell, I might not even like some of the guys that are on my team. But there's one thing you can't do. You're not allowed to come from the outside here to do any harm to anybody that is a teammate of mine. If you are an LSU player, I ask, how are you going to react? How are you going to respond? How are you going to take to all of the hate that your head coach is getting? How are you going to take Ole Miss and Keith Carter suing multiple players that are on your team? They want to make a statement? What statement are you trying to make? That you literally had a coach that walked out to a podium and basically stated that he cheated? Guys, Pete Golding went to the podium and was praised for saying that he cheated in the whole Luke Ferrelli situation. If you're a player, I ask you, when your teammates now are being attacked, how do you respond to it? Are you locked in? Are you focused? Are you ready to go? Do you say, hey, man, not today? Today, nobody at the University of Mississippi gets better than me. I make sure day in, day out, snap in, snap out, play in, play out, second per second, that no one's going to have a better rep, a better day, a better week, a better year than me. You go full Rocky IV. You go full Rocky III after the epiphany. There is no tomorrow for you. And if you attack it that way with the talent that is on this team, you're going to find yourself exactly where you want to find yourself. But it's more than just your coach. It's one thing for Lane to be attacked. It's one thing for Lane and them to come after Lane. Now they're coming after teammates. So if you're on that team, I ask you, how do you respond? We're going to find out. All right, let's get moving here. Let me get to a quick break. When we come back, well, everybody is trying to copy LSU. We got copycats around the league. Massive offseason. Who are the players that we need to discuss going into camp? Who has the biggest chatter surrounding them that we're picking up on? We'll get to that here tonight. I was going to do the Big Ten versus the SEC with Big Ten Media Days starting to unfold. We're not going to get to that tonight. We'll push that back to tomorrow, and we'll get to your thoughts, questions, concerns here tonight as well in the chat. Do us a favor, hit the like and share, but we need to tell you about our good friends and partners over at 24/7 Sports. Use the promo code AYS60 at checkout to receive your 60% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Guys, there's a massive building community going on over at Go247. I highly suggest that you join it today. Use that promo code AYS60 to receive 60% off of that annual VIP membership. All right. Let me get rolling. We got lots to discuss. Stay with us.
He will sell your house and find you anew. Well, Tyler's the man. He's here for you. If you want to buy or sell, well, it's not too late. Dial 955-0008. Just call 955-0008. Y'all call Tyler, he'll shoot you straight.
Hey guys, I want to tell you about our good friends over at Red Stick Financial. They're your local residential mortgage broker located right here in the heart of Baton Rouge, Louisiana. At Red Stick Financial, they find the bank that works for your particular set of needs to purchase the home of your dreams or refinance the current one. They truly are your partners in this process, and they pride themselves in helping individuals and families with one simple goal in mind, and that is to make home financing approachable, attainable, and stress-free. They are licensed in all Louisiana, Texas, and Mississippi. So from Amarillo to Meridian and everything in between, they have you covered. Red Stick Financial brings you creative, customized solutions, and they don't believe in the one-size-fits-all when it comes to loans. They even have special options for mobile and manufactured homes located in a flood zone and stated income financing for those of us who are self-employed borrowers. If you or someone you know is looking to buy a home, refinance an existing mortgage, or simply want to know what options are out there for your future, give Red Stick Financial a call today at 225-407-9250. That's 225-407-9250. Or check them out online at redstickfinancial.com. That's redstickfinancial.com. Before you purchase the home of your dream, or you go and do that refinance, you need to go local. Go Red Stick.
We're back.
It was brought to my attention. You know, I do think it's funny, too. How about this? You could put this on a bumper sticker.
Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
If you are a recruit, if you are a player and you leave and we deem it plausible, we will sue you. That's basically the Ole Miss slogan right now with this whole Prince Will and Devin Harper situation. How dumb of a move is it that you literally just sue players who left your school to go elsewhere when the portal is still a thing? If I'm a recruit, I'm looking at this situation going, you did what now? You did what? If I'm every school around the country, I am negatively recruiting against Ole Miss. You better be careful, man, because if it doesn't work out for whatever reason, they'll sue you. Look what they just did. Put it on a bumper sticker. If you leave, we sue. It's the most Ole Miss thing of all time. Because it always is. All right. Do us a favor. Hit the like and share. We greatly appreciate it, you doing that. So, you know, I was going to start off the show talking about teams around the country being copycats to LSU. But I remember not so long ago, actually in February, that on February the 16th, LSU announced a deal that they were going to be putting patches on their jerseys with Woodside Energy this upcoming season for all of their athletic teams. The Woodside Energy patch, as you've already seen, would be on the jerseys. Guys, they're even on the practice jerseys now. Through a deal that LSU did and what has been already done in multiple associations, leagues, and Major League Baseball, most teams, a lot of teams, have already done these patch deals. Like the New York Yankees is worth $25 million per year with Star Insurance. You have multiple ones around the country. And especially you've had them in professional sports. These owners want to take some of the financial burden off themselves, get any money they can to be able to get the best players that they can. You had the New York Yankees come out and talk about, like, the reason that we're doing this is so that we get some financial relief, we can go get better players, etc. The funny thing about this is on February the 16th of this year, LSU announced the deal. And it was widely regarded as a horrible situation for college athletics. At least that's what most people's takes were at the time. You know, I pulled up an article today from February the 16th. I'm not going to talk about the media outlet because you can Google it for yourself. But it was deemed as the most dreaded day in college athletics over the last 5 years. So, like, for example, the Nico Iamalava situation that really kicked over the can on all of this wasn't a dreaded day for college athletics. The situations with all of these eligibility situations wasn't a massive deal. The Leah Thomas thing, of all things, wasn't a massive deal. But LSU putting a jersey patch on their jersey when TV revenue was among us, and they were going to have to spend north of $20 million a year in TV revenue share, it was a most dreaded day. And LSU, for what it's worth, got dragged through the mud. They got pointed at and laughed at for being the first team that put a jersey patch on their jersey to generate revenue. You know, it's crazy because teams and universities were always going to have to find a way to generate more revenue now that they're having to get and spend $20 million of TV revenue money that normally they were pocketing. And now they're going to have to start giving it to athletes. I mean, technically, you don't necessarily, I guess, have to. But if you want to be good, you're going to have to do it. So I remember on February the 16th, the day that LSU announced it, that everybody was up in arms. Oh, it's going to look god awful. That's not what college athletics is about. It's going to drastically change the sport forever. This is the worst day. It's a dreaded day. And yet today, now that we fast forward, so we go through March, we go through April, we go through May, we go through June, we go through July, and then now all of a sudden you have an announcement with Ohio State and Notre Dame. Ohio State going with Chase Bank on a $17 million a year deal. You have a situation with Notre Dame where they go with SoFi, which I think is kind of ironic that a student loan company is going out there putting a patch on a jersey. And everybody praises it. Look at the massive deal that Ohio State just got. Look at the massive deal that Notre Dame just got. All you did was copycat what LSU did first. And I think it's funny that the first person that does it always is the one that gets dragged for it. LSU, it was innovative in it. Now, LSU has not been public with their deal. And until they are, we will not discuss. I don't think LSU is getting light cash for the deal with Woodside Energy. And I don't think in the future they're going to get light cash from Woodside Energy on the patch deal. But I do find it funny that with the Lane Kiffin move, with LSU spending all the money, when they fired Brian Kelly, now you have a situation where Keith Carter is suing Principal Umamyelen and Devin Harper, all of the stuff. Everybody is wanting to be on the negative train that rides on LSU. Because nobody nationally is singing praises for you. They're not saying, oh man, LSU did a really good job at going getting Lane. They wouldn't take no for an answer. They went out there and gave Lane the resources necessary to go out there and win. That's not the talking point. They don't like you right now. And how many more opportunities have to be presented, whether it's the jersey patch, whether it's SEC Media Days, whether it's just a typical tweet, then nobody around the country likes you. Good. We don't need them. You know, I keep saying this over and over and over again. It is LSU versus everybody. The day that you did it, people dragged you through the mud. They dragged you through the mud because you were the first one. And I find it so wild today, of all days, that you are now in a situation that when you finally see other teams do it, like Ohio State and Notre Dame, it gets praised. Now, it didn't get praised from all people. There are some people that still hate it. But what did you think teams were going to do? I ask you genuinely, what did you think teams and universities were going to do? Guys, overnight, not really overnight, but overnight, universities had to take $20 million of their own revenue and rightfully give it to athletes. And you thought that they were going to just sit there idle and take that punch on the chin? They were going to take a $20 million haircut every single year that keeps going up. You thought that they were just going to take that one on the chin and not try to do something about it? Not to try to get back to a situation where Ohio State's basically, in theory, replacing the $20 million that they've spent out of the university and TV rev share? Guys, they've made it up. They just made it up with a stroke of a pen from Chase Bank. Notre Dame just made it up with a stroke of a pen with SoFi. LSU, not completely. LSU did it with a stroke of a pen with Woodside Energy and generating more revenue. And you think that that's a bad thing? When players start getting paid more money, and the economy goes the way that it goes, college athletic goes the way that it goes, what did you think was going to happen? This was always going to be a part of it. You know, I've seen this. It really started in the NBA first, right? Like the NBA started this whole situation first. And when LeBron James was getting beat by the Golden State Warriors, when Oklahoma City Thunder were winning their first title and even trying to make a push for this one, when Wemby went off in the Western Conference Finals, you know what I never saw anybody tweeting about? Man, you know what? That was a hell of a game, but that damn jersey patch really pisses me off. Nobody says it, because when you are having success, no one gives a flying darn about what you're doing if it's going to give you success. I don't care what LSU does. I mean, don't be egregious with it, but I don't care what they do if it's going to generate them money to do big things and to win football games. But all this offseason has taught every LSU fan, from here to Kingdom Come, from here to the Basin, from here to the Bayou, the only thing that it has taught them is that most of you in the media are hypocritical pieces of crap, because you ragdolled LSU. You smeared them through the mud. You called them every name under the sun for doing this, and yet you'll go out there for Ohio State and be like, damn, man, that's an awesome deal. Great job for them. The great thing about our society today is time does heal all takes, but screenshots never die. So, you know, there are a lot of things that I would just say that if LSU does what I think that they're going to do this season, boy, you better be careful with them screenshots. That's all that I'm saying. All right, let's move forward here. So, on Sunday, you and I had a conversation about, and normally what we do, the big thoughts, questions, and concerns that I had going in about a week away, going into fall camp. Now we go to phase two. Obviously, you've had an offseason. We've gone through spring. We've gone through summer workouts. You report to camp next Wednesday. Guys, we are here. So every single year before camp, you and I have a conversation about some of the players that have constantly, in conversations that I've had, conversations that are coming out of Baton Rouge, who are some of the guys that have been some of the names that I've been hearing that have had really good off seasons, that have really started to turn heads? When we did this last year, Mansoor Delane's name was a name that you and I just kept talking about. Like, look, man, this dude is just all over the place. Him and A.J. Halsey are having phenomenal years. They're doing really well. They are doing phenomenal. The conversation that you and I had is that this LSU defense has the chance to be really good. Now, you and I have had the conversations about, at least over this past year, that I think LSU's defense was so much better than what the statistical analysis would say about it, mainly because offensively you stunk. But I think of Mansoor Delane from a year ago. I think of A.J. Halsey from a year ago. I think of what your defensive line did in the interior, because I still believe that Jacoby Ngillory and Bernard Gooden had really good seasons depending on where you're coming from. I think DeMarcus Cooley did a really good job. I think P.J. Woodland did a really good job. I think that D.J. Pickett did a really good job. And those guys continued week in and week out showing you that they are putting their best foot forward. So who are some of the guys that keep coming up in the conversations of, hey, who do you think has had a big offseason? Who do you think has had a big summer? The first player that you and I would discuss is going to be P.J. Woodland. Now, about a month ago, you and I discussed coming out of June that, hey, in the month of June, the conversations that I am having, the player that seems to be coming up to most of me, or at least to me, has been P.J. Woodland. Now, we saw a season ago that P.J. really had a massive rise, that, yes, he started in game one technically, and you had a three-corner really room. You had D.J. and P.J. that kept rotating in and out. Mansoor was obviously on the other side, locking things down. But Woodland and Pickett were the other guy on the opposite side of Mansoor Delane that really had good seasons. Last year, I thought that P.J. had a much better season than a lot of people were giving him credit for. a month ago, you and I talked about, hey, you know, we talked about PJ going into the offseason or coming out of the offseason last year. Like, don't sleep on him. Like, a lot of people are saying that it's only going to be Mansoor and it's only going to be DJ or Ashton Stamps is going to start. Everybody that I talk to says PJ has not only been a part of that rotation and will be a part of that rotation. Guys, there's a really strong chance that he's going to start week one versus Clemson, and he did. And on that first series, he sat Cade Klubnik to start off the night. So in that conversation that you and I had a month ago in June, PJ's name just keeps coming up. Like, look, man, he's really developed. It looks like he's so much more confident in everything that he's doing. He's got a very high football IQ. He's breaking up a lot of passes. He's calling things out before they even happen. He has just become a leader and taken a massive step on the field, even when he took a massive leap this past season. But, you know, at SEC Media Days, his name kept coming up again. You know, Tre'Davious Green, T.J. Dottery, and Whit Weeks were asked a lot of questions this past week. And Whit was asked, like, hey, man, who is a guy defensively? Like, we've talked about Ty Benefield. But who's another guy defensively that you think isn't getting the love that he needs to get because he's had a really good offseason? And without missing a beat, without missing a wink, Whit Weeks said, yeah, it's P.J. Woodland. So what's happening? Guys, there have been a lot of player-led practices. There have been a lot of off-season stuff. There have been guys doing work on themselves. And it seems as if that every single time that those are happening, PJ Woodland's making a name for himself. Like, hey, man, this dude just keeps coming and coming, pause, and coming, pause. But he just continues to make plays. He continues to be in the right spot. And it's getting all of his teammates' heads like, hey, man, PJ had a really good year last year. Man, he's kind of really had another really big offseason. If there is someone that I, going into camp, will keep my eyes on, probably, I don't want to say the most, because Sam Levitt's going to get a lot of our undivided attention, and he should. And we're going to talk about Sam Levitt next. I do think defensively, if there is a player that I'm like, hey, man, there's a lot of buzz coming out of Baton Rouge that, like, are you living up to some of the things that you did during the offseason, during the summer? PJ Woodland will be one of those guys. Speaking of Sam Levitt, him too. You know, I think people thought that when Lane said at SEC Media Days that Sam Levitt stayed behind to go through a player-led meeting that it was just coach speak. Through the things that I hear, it wasn't. That morning, they had a player-led situation, and Sam led it and has been leading these situations. Tre'Davious Green was asked, like, hey, man, there's a lot of turnover with coaching staff and team. What has it been like? And he goes, yeah, man, me and Sam have thrown four times this week. You know, my antennas, when he said that at SEC Media Days, goes up this week. It's Thursday. It's Thursday. How many times? What is the thing coming out of this offseason with Levitt? You know, I'm not really hearing, like, hey, man, he's making a ridiculous throw here. Hey, man, he made a ridiculous throw there. I'm not hearing, like, hey, man, he broke the pocket. He made a run. He scrambled. He went for 25 yards and score. I'm not hearing any of that. Now, I do think that there are some things that I do hear that said, man, he's really locked in. He looks healthy. He's making really good throws, got a really big arm. He really will push the ball vertically, and you better be careful, because if you're not paying attention, he will push the ball down the field. All of those things have been said. I think going into camp, the biggest thing for me surrounding Sam Levitt is what we talked about last week. It has been the leadership quality. It has been like, hey, man, this dude has come in. A lot like in a Burrow-esque type of way, not calling him Joe Burrow, because I said, look, there were some last week I said, man, there were some runs that Sam Levitt had that kind of stop and start, like, reminded me of Johnny Manziel, and everybody's like, Blake compared Sam Levitt to Johnny Manziel. No, I didn't. I said there were some runs that in the open field, it kind of reminded me of Manziel. But in the Burrow-esque type of way, when he came in 18, like, hey, man, I didn't know a lot of these guys' names. I had to work and work and work and work And we did put in the work. When we put in the work, we started having big-time connections. I think of that Auburn game in 2018 when Joe Burrow threaded a needle to Derek Dillon in a score, and you wind up ultimately winning that game. I think of post-Bama when Burrow really got healthy. You, after that, really just hit a stride. Guys, you didn't lose another game under Joe Burrow after that Bama game. You didn't lose one game. You know, everybody talks about 15-0. The truth of the matter, well, you lost A&M. Not really. You didn't lose a game in regulation. How about that? You did not lose a game because of him. He went off. He did not have bad games. It took seven overtimes for A&M to beat you. Because you went 18-1 in a 19-game stretch under Burrow after that Bama game when you started really connecting and hitting on all cylinders. So there are a lot of things that we're going to be paying attention with Sam Levitt. We're going to be paying attention to health, foot, mobility, timing, arm strength, how he overall runs the offense, his understanding of what Charlie Weiss and what Lane Kiffin are trying to run. Those are so many things that we're going to be wanting to see in fall camp with Lane, with Charlie, with Sam. I get all of that. Biggest thing coming out of fall or this offseason going into fall camp is him being a leader. And I hope that that translates, and I hope everybody circles themselves around the quarterback because you will go, Sam Levitt goes. Number three, names that have come up a lot to me, kind of wrapping up this the offensive side of the football here, has been Jackson Harris and Eugene Wilson. During the spring, Eugene Wilson, there were a lot of conversations surrounding him. He wasn't out there participating a lot. He was practicing every day, but he wasn't going in team drills. He wasn't going in 11-on-11. He was in a lot of individual drills, 7-on-7s. They did not put him in harm's way in 11-on-11 situations. He was on the sidelines for those. However, when he was in, he kept making a name for himself. He kept running fade routes, breaking away from DBs and scoring. He kept in 7-on-7 getting open, making catches, and getting vertical and getting massive yards. To the point where a guy that is on the injury list, a guy that they are not really pushing to the limit during the spring, it got everybody's attention because of how great his route running was, how explosive he was. It got everybody in the media corps surrounding and that was at the practices to ask Lane Kiffin, hey, man, what's up with Eugene Wilson? And without missing a beat, Lane said, yeah, that might be our best wide receiver like right now. Like, I think that he has a chance that he could be that. He has kind of continued that type level of communication coming out of Baton Rouge in the sense of, yeah, man, if he stays healthy, like, this guy could really do damage. I'm in the camp with Eugene Wilson. We've seen him in the SEC separate himself and make massive plays versus first-round DBs. Guys, you can pop on the film. You can look at Eugene Wilson. It's there. You've seen him do it against Georgia. You've seen him do it against really, really good DBs. You've seen him do it in the SEC. The real question is can you stay healthy? And I think that when you talk to people around LSU, when you talk to people around the facility and around the building, the question isn't, is Eugene Wilson a really good receiver? The question is, look, we see him doing elite things. We see him breaking away from DBs. We see him constantly getting open. Is he going to be healthy? I think that Lane does not use the words lightly when he says, man, he has the ability as a former five-star wide receiver, as a guy that's had injury issues in the SEC, if he doesn't go through that, he has a chance. And I think that everybody around Eugene Wilson, his name just keeps being popped up. Like, man, if he's there, if he's available, if he's able to go, if he's able to go at full speed, you can be cooking with grease. That's a massive question mark, though. I think with him, there's just this hesitation to say, yeah, we know the ability. Do we know about the availability? Jackson Harris along the wide receiver room is the name that I think everybody's just going to need to get familiar with. Guys, he's constantly putting in work. Him, Benefield, constantly there before team runs, getting in extra work before practice, after practice, separating himself on the field and off the field, constantly putting in the work. Guys, this dude might be really good. This young man, Jackson Harris, has the ability to, but when you look up at the end of the season being like, dude, where in the hell did we get this kid from? Now, you know that we got him from Hawaii. You know his story. And he made a massive name for himself after that big spring scrimmage where he had three total touchdowns in one scrimmage. He was going up against PJ. He was going up against DJ. He was going up against Benefield. He was going up against Cooley. He was going up against Spears. He was going up against Blake Baker. And it didn't matter. It didn't matter. Jackson Harris, I feel as if, is a name that just every single person that I've asked, hey, man, what's been going on this offseason? Who is somebody that you think has separated themselves that you're like, yeah, man, he might be him? Jackson Harris was the only name that every person that I personally asked, his name was the only name that came up from everybody. Every one of them. Offense, defense, it didn't matter what side of the ball of people that I talked to around the program, around the facility, everybody said one name. Now, Ty Benefield was another, but from an offensive side of things, everybody said Jackson Harris, and it's not close. Can this young man do it? We've seen the last three seasons for what it's worth. What is the one thing that we've seen from Lane Charlie and George McIntyre? We have seen them take a wide receiver with the body frame, 6'2", 205 pounds, which is what Jackson Harris is at. We've seen them take Stribling. We've seen them take Trey Harris. And both of those guys were second-round pick wide receivers. We've seen them develop big-bodied wide receivers that, quite honestly, if you just want to be blunt on the matter, have been the massive focal point in the passing game for the last offenses under Lane and Charlie. I think Jackson Harris is going to be that guy as well. It's going to be interesting to see how he puts all these things together. Last two. The next one of guys that I think whose name constantly comes up is Prince Wilhelmyelen. Now, we've been talking a lot about Prince Will today because obviously Keith Carter made that very much so. I'm going to be very careful how I say this. Over the last 3 weeks, I would say that people around the program, when talking about Prince Wilhelmyelen, have stated to me that there's been a little bit more focus than maybe they've seen in the past. Is it because of current life situations? Have they pissed him off? I'm gonna just say it like this. I'm very intrigued to see how Prince Wilhelmyelen attacks fall camp. I am really interested to see how he attacks the first 3 weeks of the season. I don't want to correlate what has gone on today as to the reason as to why, because I think that that's too easy to say. But is it? Did the Keith Carter situation make this young man lock in? I don't know. I don't know. What they're trying to do here, let's just be blunt on this situation. What is Keith Carter and Ole Miss really trying to do? They're trying to make Prince Will play for LSU technically for free. That's what they're trying to do. You know it, and I know it. They're trying to screw him over. This ain't got shit to do with Devin Harper. They could care less. They're throwing Devin Harper in there because they don't want it to look like they're picking on one dude. That's what this is about. That's what this is 1,000% about. And to take a shot at Lane. I think when Lane is asked about Prince Will this fall camp, I think he's going to tell you in no uncertain terms that Prince Will has been more locked in than he's ever been. You remember that this conversation is being had. I would bet Buku's amount of money that those statements are said. So we'll see. Last but not least, and this is somebody that you and I have discussed a lot, is Ty Benefield, guys. There have been a couple of players over the last couple of years, whether it's been Jaden, Malik, BTJ, Mansoor Delane, AJ Halsey, BJ Ojulari, if you want to go back that far. There have been players over the last couple of seasons that when you and I have had discussions that have just been undeniable as to everybody saying this dude might be a superstar. This dude is about to have an ungodly season. If you remember three seasons ago during the offseason, actually really 4 years ago during the offseason and 3 years ago, I wrote an article on our website at the time saying everybody keeps pointing to Kayshon Boutte as the number one wide receiver for LSU. And in year one under Brian Kelly, it was like, guys, the people that I talk to, it seems as if that Malik Nabers might be that guy, okay? And then the season goes on, and the number one target, because of some situations surrounding Kayshon, even if you want to say it was just by default, it became Malik Nabers. And then the following season, on that same platform, I'm like, look, man, like if Malik Nabers is 50% the hype of what everyone is building him up to be in this offseason, because not only is he a first-round pick, he might be the first wide receiver off the board. That was the article that you and I wrote, you and I had the conversation on at the time. Well, he was. Same could be said about Jaden. Same could be said when we talked last offseason about Mansoor Delane. Same could be said for AJ Halsey. Like, we have been blessed in the last 5 years, really elite talent. And that elite talent separates themselves when people talk about them. There's nobody on this team. Jaxson Harris is one of them. Like, I think Jaxson Harris has had a lot of people talk glowingly about them or about him. Everybody says the same exact thing about Boise State safety transfer and Ty Benefield. This dude is a killer. He's at the facility at 4:30. He goes through an hour's worth of jug work. He goes through an hour's worth of workout. Then he goes into his team conditioning workout. Then he lifts. Then he does it all over again. Then he goes and gets treatment, goes through film, and then goes and takes a rest. And then at the evening, he's back at it. And he's done nothing but turn heads. Everybody's like, this dude's a machine. He can't be stopped. You know, it's crazy. Mansoor, Malik, Jaden, BTJ, AJ, just name the player that during and before going into camp that you and I have had the conversations about. Tell me that weren't the same conversations that we're having right now about Ty Benefield. If you want to know my opinion, if, again, he lives up to 50% of all of the hype, guys, he's going to be a superstar because there is a lot of hype surrounding him. I always get fearful, maybe I shouldn't, of that when players get that much, like, hey, man, that's a lot of pressure to live off of. You're going into the SEC. AJ did it. Mansoor did it. Malik did it. BTJ did it. I think this young man is cut from that same cloth. You will hear, this is one thing that I know, you will hear all of fall camp The storyline amongst storylines will be, man, Ty Benefield is insane. He is an elite player. You're going to hear that. At some point, you're going to hear that this dude's just incredible. And I think it has a lot to do with mindset, leadership. You've seen on the videos that LSU has posted, a lot of the leadership that he has produced. You're going to continue to see that. And that will be the talking point about him. All right. I know we have a lot of super chats in here. Before we get out of here, let's get to some of them. I see we got a lot of comments in here too. Boy, they trying to roast your boy in the open market. Is that what they're trying to do? Ole Miss people off in here trying to roast your boy. Gotta love it. Let's get to some super chats before we get out of here. Ricky Pope with a $10 super chat says, Ole Piss, your trophy case is empty. And you will never be relevant, so go back to being the backside of the SEC's face. They're going to have to prove without Lane that they're not. They're going to have to prove it. They're going to have to prove that they're not going to go back and regress. So... we'll see. Get Gooder says, on another note, we need black uniforms, purple numbers, and gold outline. I got to be real with you. I've never been a fan of all black uniforms, and I wear all black every night on this show, mostly. I'm not a fan of them. I feel like it's too hot in August. I feel like it's too hot in Louisiana in general. Maybe if I saw it, I'd change my mind, Get Gooder. Maybe I'm wrong on that. Breezy became a member on the YouTube channel. Thank you so much. I greatly appreciate that. Frankie sends a $5 super chat, says, I'm sure potential recruits will love this. If you leave us at Ole Miss, we will sue you. Nice work, Keith. Yeah, I don't know how that's not a talking point. Like, I don't know how that's not a going to be and is a massive talking point. Like, are we going to look up and say that Ole Miss screwed themselves? That's the real question. That is going to be a legit question. I don't know if I've wanted the demise of a program more. Ricky Pope with a $5 super chat says, at some point their trophy case is going to walk out. They going to sue that too? I mean, it's just the epicenter. It's just the epicenter of what Ole Miss, like what you believe of them, right? Like it is the epicenter of, like, you would believe that an Ole Miss fan will sue you. And then they just sue them. It's going to be interesting to see how LSU plays this. It will be. Right, wrong, or indifferent, it's going to be very, very interesting. All right. We'll see y'all again tomorrow. Y'all have a blessed night. Peace.